This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
The scope of the economic shutdown to deal with the coronavirus pandemic may be unprecedented, but this isn't the first time our nation has had to deal with such an outbreak. Dr. Paul Kangor from the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. Paul, as we look at the nation, the world grappling with this coronavirus crisis, it is something that few, if any, living Americans or anybody else has ever been through, but it's not unparalleled in history. As a professor and student of history, can you talk a little bit about what has happened in past pandemics?
Well, sure, Loman. And the one that really is striking everybody right now, because it happened almost exactly 100 years ago. I mean, it's kind of frightening how the dates of these two things correspond. But the influenza epidemic, also known as the Spanish flu, by the way, fairly or unfairly as the Spanish flu, that hit at the end of World War I, 1918, 1919, 1920, and it was catastrophic. The number of people around the world who were affected by this, the numbers still range on this considerably, but historians estimate that about 500 million people around the world were hit with the Spanish flu at the end of World War I. And the death toll, and that's what's kind of a scary parallel with the coronavirus, the death toll of the Spanish flu was about 2-3%, which is where the coronavirus was, at least initially. Now, those numbers seem to be going down now, you know, thankfully. But the number of people who died from Spanish flu, historians still don't know, but anywhere probably 20 million to 60 million around the world. And some historians have even said 100 million. So if you take even that lowest number, 20 million, that's double the combined death toll of World War I. And World War I was called the Great War. It was the deadliest war in human history. That was took 4 years to you know, grind up 10 million men in the farms and fields and trench warfare of Western Europe in World War I. So 20 million at least dead from the influenza epidemic, it was just crushing. It was extraordinary. And the number of Americans that died, probably close to about 600,000 from the influenza epidemic, which would have been more than the number of Americans that died in World War I and World War II combined. So hopefully these numbers won't get anywhere near that. At this point, it looks like they won't, I hope. But I don't know. That's our hope and prayer, that we get nowhere near what we saw in America and around the world 100 years ago.
Obviously, healthcare and our ability to deal with influenza and other diseases is greatly improved from when the Spanish flu happened 100 years ago. But Paul, how did society react then? Like now, the reaction is social distancing. Let's close everything down for a few weeks, try to flatten the curve so we don't overwhelm the health system. Was there during that period of time an awareness that steps like that needed to be taken, or did that just never dawn on people?
There absolutely was, Loman. And I wrote a piece called Eerie Echoes of the Influenza Epidemic, which is posted at our website for the Institute for Faith and Freedom. Faithandfreedom.com is the website. And I talk about the case. This name might sound a little familiar to people once they hear her last name. Nell Clyde Wilson Reagan. That was the mother of Ronald Reagan. And she was born in 1883 in Illinois. And it was the winter of 1919 that her little town of Monmouth, Illinois, which was one of several towns in kind of northwestern Illinois that Ronald Reagan grew up in, they were jolted by the influenza epidemic. And there, kind of like what you're seeing in small towns all over America right now, including my small town of Grove City, Pennsylvania, people were quarantining. And you know, Ronald Reagan, who was 8 years old, would write about this in his memoirs. And he talked about being just scared as a little kid by the sight of townspeople wearing face masks and doors that had black ribbon wreaths. Libraries were closed, dance halls were closed, schools, churches. And so people were quarantining. They were self-quarantining. And by the way, that's an interesting flu as well. The fact that Nell Reagan, who would have been, if I'm doing the math right, she would have been, let's see, 17, probably mid-30s at that point. That was a really strange flu that disproportionately affected the healthy middle-aged. Most flus kill the elderly, the very old, and the very young, although this coronavirus is not killing the very young. It's killing older people, and it does affect middle-aged people, but not quite in such a debilitating way. But the people that were hardest hit by the influenza epidemic, the Spanish flu, were healthy middle-aged people. And Ronald Reagan, his father Jack, his brother Neil, so basically there were four people in the family, three boys and the mom, Nell. Ronald Reagan said we thought she was a goner. We thought we were going to lose our mom. And she barely managed to hang on. She survived. But the response back then is very similar to today. People just tried to keep distance from one another. That's self-quarantining, the term we now use, social distancing. Sometimes that's the only thing you can really do if you don't have an antibiotic or a vaccine or some other way to treat it medically.
You can read the writings of Dr. Paul Kangor at the Institute for Faith and Freedom website. Paul, tell us a bit about the Institute for Faith and Freedom. Also, what is that web address?
Yeah, thank you. The web address is faithandfreedom.com, and Institute for Faith and Freedom is the think tank at Grove City College. We put on conferences, lectures, a quarterly lecture in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a great big annual conference. And in fact, Loman, this is another sign of the times, our big annual conference for April, which was on the spirit of democratic capitalism, not socialism, but capitalism. We had to cancel it this year. So we're now rescheduling that for April 2021. But if you go to our website, there are all sorts of lectures, articles to read, past conferences. And with people being stuck at home right now and maybe looking for ways to read and self-educate, I strongly recommend faithandfreedom.com.
Paul, we thank you for your time today.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.